Blog Talk Radio.
One moment, please. Let's see, 4820 38.
Hold on. Okay. All right. So we're going to be continuing in this precept, Becoming of Messiah, Part 4. And we're going to return back to the lesson on this. As I was saying, I have been all over the place this morning as far as in the scriptures. It's like the Most High was trying to take me another way. But I was not prepared, and maybe I don't need to be prepared to do it. I think going to be doing a precept on the carnal saint, because there are many of us who say we believe, but we're stuck in, you know, the pleasures of the flesh, and you know, living for the pleasure of the flesh. And then, you know, we're walking according to that and then saying that we're saved. And so, you know, I've been seeing different doctrines of people saying that, oh, you can be carnal and still be saved. Which, you know, it says that you are saved. And I'm reading way too many scriptures that are contrary to that. I think, you know, we're going to probably do a precept in that light. But today we're going to continue in the coming of Messiah. See if we can finish this up. I have a lot to cover on this day. So we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet. On the internet in general, whether you're in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, whether you've called into one of the conference lines, whether you are in North America or South America, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, one of the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Again, just a second. All right, so let me go ahead and continue. So no matter where you're at, we're greeting the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will go ahead and proceed in the precept. As I said, I've been kind of all over the place this morning. In the scriptures, and Mosai showed me something this morning concerning the law of a life in Mashiach and the law of sin and death. And I think, I can't say everybody's been doing this. I think that I have not distinguished in the scriptures, I have not distinguished when it comes to what the scripture, which law the scriptures are actually talking about, okay? Because when we say the law, we have a tendency, and I, you know, I'm saying I'm guilty of this as well, have a tendency to lump everything up under all the law, up under the word law. But when the scriptures can be distinguishing, and I think that a lot of churches and other readers of the scriptures are guilty of this as well, where we see the word law and we lump all the law or whatever is being spoken of at that time we want to lump it all up under law, when it may be simply addressing a particular law. And so we generalize that word too much, and I probably have been guilty of that as well. Okay, so let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. We probably will spend some time in this area concerning the law of Mashiach, life in Mashiach, and the law of sin and death. And I think I will just give the overview for that, those two laws, okay, and what the Most High showed me this morning concerning those two laws in Romans chapter 8. You may have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head. For the east, as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you, Father, for you are glorious and you're wonderful and you're marvelous. Hallelujah, and you're greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. And we just give you glory on this morning and we praise your holy name. Hallelujah. We bow down to you, O Yah Elohim, and we magnify you, Father, for you are our Elohim. You are our Savior and our Redeemer. And Father, we just love you on this morning. We love you so much, Father, and we just want to express our love to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah to you. Glory. 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 Glory to you, O Yah. Glory, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that we should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happened to you when you disobeyed. the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the scriptures. And on this morning, I think I only want to do one scripture this morning. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, because this is the conclusion of the whole matter. At the end of the day, this is really what matters. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless him through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, the blowing of the shofar.
Up inside. Bye. Thank God, my Father.
Amen, 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 amen. I love you, Yah. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to start off with the question on this morning. Must hear being lost if we have been truly saved. Not just saved, but truly saved, because a lot of people claim to be saved, but they never get converted. They never have a change in their life. They're still living for the flesh. So when we are truly saved, let's go to John chapter 10, and we're going to get verses 27 through 29. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the first thing is, Moses says, and Messiah is saying, his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So he's saying that truly changed, truly converted, you shall never perish. And nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Can't take away your salvation. Only you can do that. Only you, by the choices that you make, by the things that you do. But no other man, Satan can't pluck you out of the hand of Messiah. Can't do it. He's not powerful enough to do it. If you have truly been converted, truly been changed. Now, if you are coming into this thing and you are playing, you never were changed, you never were converted, you just simply said you were, still struggling with all the things of the flesh, then yes, you can be plucked, because you were never really in his hands. Okay, and that's the thing that every person has to know, that you have to be changed, you have to truly be changed in order to truly be saved and not lose your salvation. Go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And one day I want to do, we've read these verses in Romans chapter 8 previously, but I want to cover this from the standpoint of the law of a life in Messiah and the law of sin and death. Mosiah had me delving very deeply into that this morning. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31, and we're going to get verses 31 through 39. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If Yah be for us, who can be against us? If the Most High is on your side, you and Yah are a majority by yourself. You don't need nobody else. You don't need consensus from anyone else. If Yah is on your side, David didn't need anyone else when he went up against Israel. See, when we're looking for, you know, a large body or people to have consensus with us, to agree with us before we'll take an action, you don't need anybody on your side but the Most High. Okay? So if Yah be for you, who can be against you? At the same time, you also have to look at the reverse of this. If Yah is against you, who can be for you? Who's going to save you from him? Can't nobody save you from him. Just like can't nobody attack you when he's on your side. They can't get to you. You're going to have the victory because they're not able to conquer Yah. So who's going to be able to protect you from Yah if he's against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yah's elect? It is Yah that justifies. In other words, if the Most High says he's going to have mercy on you, I can do that. Y'all have to give me a hot second. Took some pills, and for some strange reason, he's going to kick in right now. Let me play a short song, and I'll be right back. Let me find a short song. right back. My apologies.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation, we gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters, we gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of her. Cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order. Cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise. Open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat.
All right. My apologies once again. Thank you for your patience. We will pick it back up in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Well, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yah's elect? If Yah selects you, if he elects you, if he chooses you, he says, can nobody charge you with anything? He's the one that justifies you. He's not going to justify you in your mess, though. But even if he does say anything against that, can nobody overrule him? Who is he that condemneth? It is HaMashiach that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Yah, who also maketh intercession for us. So Messiah is, the job of Messiah is to make intercession for us. As long as we are not sinning willfully, he's not going to make intercession for those who are sinning willfully. As he says, if you willfully sin after you come into the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So he's making intercession, but only for those ignorant sins. And so we have to understand that we can't take these scriptures as a license to sin. Yah has selected me. Yah has chosen me. You can't charge me with anything. I'm not up under the law. And this is the way that the churches are interpreting these verses. And they're causing the verses to contradict with one another. On one hand, if Yah chooses you, who can charge you with anything? Well, Yah can. On another hand, if you sin willfully after you come into the knowledge of the truth, there's no blood for that. So Messiah can't intercede for that because he says it himself. You have sit on what I did. Who shall separate us from the love of HaMashiach? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Now, what's the one word you don't see in this? You don't see sin in these definitions. Things that what will we allow us to separate ourselves? Can famine or tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or peril or sword? None of those things have to do with sin, because sin can separate you from the love of HaMashiach. So if all the things in the world that come against us, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, threaten of death, the sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. Now, it's written, but it don't seem like many modern-day saints really want this to happen. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's as it is written. And that's what's going to happen coming up in the future. Prior to his coming. In the early church, this was the deal. They were being killed all the day long. Being crucified, being hung upside down, being split in half, being fed to the lions, killed for sport. When Antichrist comes, this is going to come again. Even worse than it was in the beginning, because this is a great tribulation. And it's not going to be by who you think it's going to be by. It's going to be by so-called saints. Call themselves saints. Want to keep Sunday worship. You want to keep Sabbath. You want to keep the laws. They don't want to be up under the law. There's coming a great persecution. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yah, which is in HaMashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master. So if we are truly converted and we are truly saved, then we're going to obey his voice. We're going to come into the stature of a perfect man in Mashiach. And nothing will be able to separate us from him. Not wild horses, not principalities, not powers, nothing that's in the present, nothing to come. Not even the great tribulation will be able to separate us. But you got to be truly, that's why that question was worded that way. You got to be truly changed. Got to be committed. Can't kind of be committed. I hope we can see this, that there's a continuity or a continuous theme in the scriptures that the Most High, if you obey his voice, then you're going to fulfill the commandment because you're going to obey him. But if you, in order to not be separated from him, from his love, from his salvation, from his redemption, he tells you you have to do it with your whole heart. You can't just kind of come to him, kind of halfway come, kind of three-quarters come. You can't be doubting. You have to sit down and thought about this thing. What is he really asking me, and am I willing to do it? I hope we can see this consistency. So then, if you are committed, then nothing can separate you. And Elohim will be for you. He won't be against you. He'll be for you. and nobody and nothing can pluck you out of his hand. Not powerful enough to. The only person that can do that is you. Okay, understand that. The only one that can do that is you. Other than that, you can't be lost. You're not going to slip through the fingers of the Most High and end up in the lake. If you are for him, he'll be for you. Understand that. But you have to be truly for him. Can't be playing a game. Can't be, you know, as I said, can't be halfway in this thing. He wants your whole. Anything short of that, you're not gonna give what is required. You're not gonna do what's required. You might feel like you did enough. So I want everybody to sort of put themselves in this frame of mind. I want you to think about this. If you tell someone, I want you to give me X amount of effort. So I want this room cleaned up, or I want this house cleaned up. And you have shown them how to clean the house. And you say, I want the house cleaned up. Then you have a certain standard of what you consider to be clean. And since you taught them, they should know what your standard is of what you consider to be clean. And when you come back, they have halfway cleaned the house according to your standard. To theirs, the house may be clean. But according to your standard, which they understand, the house is not clean. They didn't dust the furniture. They didn't clean the baseboards. They swept the floor, didn't mop it, didn't vacuum the carpet, picked up stuff up off the floor, but didn't vacuum the carpet, didn't straighten out the pillows on the couch or, you know, wipe down the windowsills, which were your standards. That was clean. Do all these things. Sweep, dust, everything. Then vacuum the floors and pick up everything and mop. And then you would consider the house to be clean. But they didn't do that. Now, you would be upset because they didn't do what you asked them to do. And you would feel justified in your anger. Because they didn't do what you asked them to do, and you showed them. I'm not saying you just told them, but you showed them, you know, on previous occasions, what you consider to be clean. And that required their whole effort. Because you showed them really how to clean. And then you come back, and they haven't done that. Then if you're justified in being angry with them because they did not follow your instruction and they did not do it to your standard, to your level, how do we think the Most High is going to be when he tells us he wants our whole heart and he wants us to do everything to a certain level and then we don't give it to him? We don't do it to that level. We expect for people to follow us and to do what we say to do. But then when it comes to the Most High, somehow, some kind of way, he's supposed to be more understanding, supposed to be more lenient. Where he says, I've given you and told you everything how I want it. And I even told you, don't add to it or take away from it. So I told you to clean the house. I did not tell you to rearrange the furniture or to go out and do this. I said, don't add to it or take away from it. This is how I like things when you're looking at your walk. Are you doing what he told you to do? Go to John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Yah, that you may know, underlining that verse, know, not think, not believe, because I've told you before, what you believe and what you know are two different things. You can believe something and somebody can change your belief. You know, nobody can change that because in your heart, in your mind, you know it. I don't care what you say, I know this. So that you may know, not believe, that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Yah. So knowing that you have eternal life and believing on his name. You can know that you have eternal life if you do what he tells you to do. The Most High is not going to change and say, oh, you know what? You did everything I asked. Then go get your butt in the lake. That would be breaking his word. Even though he has the authority to do that, but it would break his word. It would break his promise. He said he won't do that. Only one place will you find in the scriptures where the Most High said, hey, you caused me to break my word. He said that with Israel. They were being so stiff-necked and so hard-hearted that they caused the Most High to break his promise. Now, they did that. He didn't do that just for sake, you know, just for doing it, just to do it. He told them, and it came like this. I told you I was going to take you all into the promised land. Everybody that came out of Egypt, I promised you that I would take you into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And time and time and time again, up to 10 times, sinned, you have rebelled, you have murmured and complained, you have disobeyed. And I told you I was going to give you this land, and the biggest thing is you don't believe me. I delivered you out of the most powerful nation in the world and destroyed their army behind you so that you didn't have to worry about them coming after you. And I did it by way of a miraculous or a great act. I split the Red Sea into parts. And you walked over on dry land. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to follow you, or Pharaoh's army tried to follow you, I caused the sea to come back and swallow them up and destroy them. Now I tell you to send 10 spies into the land. And they come back with reports of giants and all these things and saying that you can't take the land. And two of them, 12 spies go over. Then come back with a negative report. You come back and say, we can take the land. You believe the negative report. You believe against what I told you. And I truly believe that that was a test he did in him. But then, after he rebukes them, and tells them, you're not going to enter into the land right now. What do they do? All of a sudden, they want to get brave, and we can take the land. And they go up to, into this city, and these people whip their behind, kill some of them. And the Most High gets angry, because he said, I told you I wasn't going to be with you. And you decide to go now, but before, I'm telling you, you want to murmur and complain and doubt. Therefore, because you have believed the negative report, Y'all going to walk 40 years in the wilderness. And this generation, everybody 20 years old and older, is going to die out. I'm not taking y'all all old. Only Caleb and Joshua and Moses, and I think and Aaron. I know Moses didn't get to go over either because he sinned, and Aaron didn't get to go over because of their sin. So only Caleb and Joshua got to go over that were over 20 years old at that time. And the Most High says, you caused me to breach my promise to you. Now, the Most High promises us eternal life. You can know it. But you can cause a breach of that promise by going back into sin, by walking in unbelief. Your actions, just like the children of Israel's actions caused them, the Most High to breach his word with them, you can cause the Most High to breach his word with you, his promise to you. You can do it. That's why I say, can't nobody do this but you. Just like nobody could keep them out of the promised land but themselves. You know that you have eternal life. And that you believe on the name of the Son of Yah, on Yeshua. And what he did, that should be enough to keep you from sinning. Just like I said, when you understand the Most High is making you a child, his child. Everybody's not his child. I think Romans chapter 3, 2 or 3 tells us that. Not everybody is a child of Elohim. Not everybody is a child of the promise. So when the Most High makes you his child, and you know that he has made you his child, that should be enough to make you stop sinning. And if that won't make you stop sinning, nothing will make you stop sinning. Let's move on to the next question. Since we look for Hamashiach's return, what should we continue or start to do? Continue to do or start to do if you're not doing it. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. So if you're not doing this, you need to start. And some people won't let you have peace with them. Then you need to not deal with them because they will cause you to fall. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Yah. If you're not trying to follow peace with all men and be holy, you're not going to see Yah. You're not going to enter into his kingdom. And we won't be able to point at someone else because we are responsible for ourselves. Seek peace and pursue it. Let's get that verse 4, but let me get that. No, 1 Peter 3 and 11. 1 Peter 3 and 11. So let's get that. 1 Peter 3 and 11. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue it. That's what the Most High wants. Mark chapter 13. verse 33 through 37. The book of Mark, chapter 13. And let's get verses 33 through 37. And give me a hot second here. Mark 13, verse 33. Take ye heed, watch, and pray. So seek peace, and then watch, and pray. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man, as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, turn. And if you're watching for his return, then you need to make sure you have done what he told you to do. You know, so again, let's make this an example. You are told to do something. And then let's just use work. The boss says, hey, I'm leaving for the rest of the day, and I need you to do X and get it done for in the morning. And then they leave. When, you know, if you do what we sometimes do, I'm not saying everybody does this, but some people do, you procrastinate. And the end of the day comes and you don't get it done. So then you're going to try to come in early. And it's not a good example, but it should make the point. You try to come in early to get it done before the boss there. And you don't get it done. Should you expect the boss to be mad at you when they told you, gave you instructions on what to get done? And, you know, at that time, you're probably looking out the window and everything, trying to hurry up and get it done, watching for it to see when they're going to come in. You know they come in about 9, but you're watching because you know what time they come in. He's saying, I gave you something to do, Messiah, saying, I gave you something to do. And then I told you to watch for my return. I told you to go into all nations and teach them whatsoever I have taught you. Share the gospel of the kingdom and share how they are to live a godly life. And I told you to seek peace with all men and watch for my return. Spread this gospel of the kingdom and watch for my return. To be knowing, you don't know exactly what time he's coming back, but you know he's coming back. He tells you to watch and pray. But I say unto you all, watch. So you should know what should be the signs of his return. You should know if he's coming on a horse, you should know how his horse looks. You should know how he looks. You should know from what direction he should be coming. If he went this way, chances are he's going to come back the same way he went. If that's a major road in and out of the town or whatever. But you should watch with an expectation that he's going to return. Now, when they say that Messiah is here, then one or two things is going on. If man that they say in Israel is really Messiah, then we are 100% off base. And we are 100% in error. and we have missed his coming. If it's not Messiah, and they are calling him Messiah, then we know that they are following a false Messiah. So we have to know what the signs are. And we went over those 2 weeks ago. You shall see him come in the clouds. Or everybody will see him coming in the clouds. And then he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. So he's going to descend from the sky. And the angel said, why are you men? Why are you looking up into heaven? This Yeshua shall return the same in likewise manner as you saw him go. They saw him rise from the earth and ascend into the heavens. So we should see him descend from the heavens, coming in the clouds, and then touch down, and we probably see it on TV as far as him touching down on the Mount of Olives. And then the earth will split open, half going east and west and half going north and south. Why? Then because we know what the signs are, we know that it's him. If we don't see that, then we know it's not him. This is somebody perpetrating. So we have to know what we're watching for. Go to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 36. The book of Luke, chapter 21, and verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. You want to escape? You got to be counted worthy. You got to be doing what he said to do, or else you're not going to be worthy and to stand before the Son of Yah. You can't stand before the Son of Yah because he's coming to judge, and you're guilty. Remember, the scripture says he's coming, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means stiff. That means that he's not going to be bending the law. He's going to be enforcing the law strictly. That's a rod of iron. No pliableness at all. No flexibility in the law. I am going to judge you according to what is written, according to my own standards. So you have to know that he's not going to be taking it easy on people. And then when he appoints those that are going to rule with him, they have to rule by the same standard he rules by, with a rod of iron. That's what the scriptures tell us in Revelation chapter 2, that he that overcometh, he that overcomes will be given the authority to rule and must rule with a rod of iron. Let's go to that. Let's read that so you understand you can't rule differently than he does. Let's see. Go to Revelation chapter 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2. Now he's talking to who he's talking to here. Go up to verse, starting verse 18. Okay. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of Elohim, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, or like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, or love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Their works are more than their patience, their faith, their service, their charity. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Remember he said last night, the thought of foolishness is sin. But unto you I say, now these are the faithful, the ones that he's talking to the church at Thyatira. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, the doctrine of Jezebel, it's okay to fornicate, just ask for forgiveness. It's okay to sacrifices made to idols, things that are dedicated to other gods. For though many of you that do not have this doctrine, and which have not known the depth of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which you have already done, so keep doing the work, keep loving, keep having faith. And he that overcomes, so the ones that continue in this and overcome, and keep my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So he thought that the he that overcometh are the saints that continue in the works of Messiah. Okay? Those that continue in the works of Messiah. That overcome and keep my works until the end. To him will I give power over the nations. And he, the same one that overcame, shall rule them with a rod of iron. So he here is not talking about Messiah. He here is talking about the one that overcame and continued and kept the works of Messiah. And he says that in verse 26. And keepeth my work until the end. What did I tell you to do? If you keep my works to the end, end of your life, if you die in those works, because of those works, you'll rule them with a rod of iron, just like Messiah has to rule them with a rod of iron. You can't rule separate from him. You can't rule a different way than he rules. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. The nations are they. How are they going to be broken to shivers? By your hands ruling the same way as Messiah ruled, with a rod of iron. Even as I received of my Father. Now, go to Revelation chapter 12. The book of Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the same dream that Joseph had concerning the nation of Israel. And Joseph's father represented the sun, his mother represented the moon, and the 12 stars represented the 12 tribes, the 12 children they had. Being with child, cried, prevailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman is Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That his child is Messiah. Okay? And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This is Messiah. He's the man-child that's to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Elohim and to his throne. So Messiah, we have here in a prophecy, and this prophecy is all about Israel and Messiah. Okay. And that Messiah is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. But Messiah himself told you in Revelation chapter 2 that everybody that continues in his work, that he would give a throne, and that they would rule the nations with a rod of iron, just like him. So he himself is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and he expects those that he gives power to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's a strict rule. That's like, here are the laws. If you get caught breaking the laws, you suffer the full penalty of the law. So I pray that we get this in our spirit. We're to watch and pray, and then we are to maintain, and we are to, if called to suffer, be willing to suffer for the word of God and for the testimony of Messiah. And if we endure to the end and overcome, then he's going to give us power over the nations to rule them with a rod of iron. So we're going to be ruling with him. So I pray we see this. Okay. So you want to, if you want to stand before him, you got to be doing what it is that you were told to do. You're not going to stand before him and be walking in sin and say, please forgive me. He's going to tell you, I gave you salvation and you walked all over it. And what you deserve is the lake. And that's what he's going to give you. It's the lake. Because he tells us in Hebrews 10, 26 through 29 or 30, that if you step on what he did, if you willfully sin after you know the truth, there ain't no sacrifice for that. And he says what you deserve is a punishment worse. Carry it out. Because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. People are looking for him to be loving and kind and merciful when he comes back. It's going to be too late then. Too late. So you are either doing that now and doing what he asked now before you go into the grave, But after you go into the grave, it's too late. You didn't do what you were asked to do. And when your resurrection, be like, hey, you didn't do what I asked you to do. They're going to judge you by your work. Judge you by your works. And are you doing continuing in his works, not yours, in his work? So if you want to account yourself worthy to escape all the things that are coming if you're alive, and that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Yah, then you need to be watching. You need to be knowledgeable and of what you're watching for. You need to be praying that you are in his will and that you're doing his will, so that you can be counted worthy to escape. Really worthy to escape his wrath. Because he's not coming taking names. If your name ain't already in his book, he ain't writing it down after that. What things must we avoid while waiting on HaMashiach's return? What things must we avoid? We just read what we're supposed to do. Watch and pray. Always. What do we not supposed to do? Go to Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourself. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. Let's look up this word, surfeiting. For Luke 21, verse 34. Look up this word, surfeiting, because you're not supposed to do this. In the Greek, this word is krahipale. Probably from the same as G726. Properly, a headache as a seizure of pain from drunkenness. That you be not overcharged with having hangovers, recovering from being drunk, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life. So you are number one, when you are drunk, you are not really aware of things going around you. You kind of are, but you're not. You're not in your right mind. You're not fully aware. You're aware of some things, but then your perception is inhibited. It's altered. It's I want to use the word not stymied, but it's degraded. You're not fully aware, and you're busy trying to recover when you're surfeiting. Because if you've ever drank anything and had a hangover, then you know you all about, you got a headache, you feel sick at your stomach, you're not feeling well, your body don't feel normal, and it's all about you. Because anytime we're sick, recover. And it's all about us recovering. That's the main thing that's on our mind. When it's coming from getting drunk, it is self-inflicted. It's one thing being sick and in trouble like that when it's something natural in the world, like the flu or a cold or something like that. But when you get drunk to the point that after you are drunk and partying and all that, you are recovering and you are sick from your drunkenness. And you got a headache and the room is spinning and you're sick at the stomach, might be hugging the toilet. And you're not going to be looking for his return. It's all about you. And you recover. You're not in your right mind. You're not feeling right. But you can do the same thing by being too wrapped up in the cares of this life. Being so engrossed in, you know, I got to have that big house. I got to have that big car. And all when I was at the farmer's market on yesterday, and one of the ladies that was in a booth next to me, she was selling, and they're like flip-flops, but, you know, they're the part that your toes and all that stuff slides into is it's like a weaving that she does with cloth or, you know, some type of soft cloth. And she said she had a national line, and she was in 250 stores at one time before her and her partner had a breakup, and, you know, they took the business from her. But the business was keeping her so busy, and there was so much pressure all the time that she was, you know, pretty much suffering a mental breakdown. And it was consuming her. And, you know, at this point, you know, she thought it was a blessing that they took the business from her, even though she, you know, started with a new line of her own. But, you know, she wasn't really trying to make it all that big because she didn't want it to consume her like it did before. All she had time for was that business. And I can understand that. I know how that is. Because when you are in business for yourself, trust me, it has a life of its own. And especially if you are counting on that to pay your bills, then you have no other choice but to get up and do it. And whatever comes, you know, handle it and take it. And so it can become all-consuming, and you have no time for anything else. Have no time for spouse, for children, for yourself. Much less the Most High. And so Messiah is saying, don't do that. You know, that's why even with the microgreens business, I can't let it overwhelm me to the point that I can't do the work of the Most High. That's a no-go. One of the farm, there's an African farmer at the market. I've seen him before. I talked to him about some stuff from him. And so when he came and saw that I was selling microgreens, he said he grew microgreens too, but he didn't grow them to bring to the market. He brings full-grown plants. Saying, well, hey, you know, the Saturday markets are the best market. I said, yeah, but I can't do Saturday because I keep Sabbath. And he sort of heard it and kind of ignored it the first time, and we kept talking. He said it again. I said, well, you know, I can't do Saturday markets because I keep Sabbath. He says, I know, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So he quoted the scripture, and he says that's a good thing that you can you honor what you believe. I said, yeah, you know, that's, I know Saturday markets are better than the Friday or the Wednesday or the Sunday markets. But it would, if I went to those, I would corrupt Sabbath or I pollute the Sabbath. I wouldn't be keeping Sabbath, so I can't do that, and I won't do that. I can respect that. And so we can't, for the love of money, break the laws of the Most High because it seems like, oh, that's the best time to do it. You know, it's Sabbath. That's the world's time. I already knew that going into this and knew that I would not be working Sabbath, the Shabbat, okay, because then I would be all about the cares of this world. We can't do that. And so that day comes upon you unaware, so busy trying to make money, so busy trying to get ahead, that we forget about the things that are most high. We forget to watch. We forget to take heed. We get wrapped up in the cares of this life. And they take precedence, start taking precedence over the things of the Most High. Don't do that. So we are told specifically to avoid that. Don't get into partying and enjoying yourself. And it's all about your pleasure and your, you know, your comfort and your relaxation. And then you are partying so much that, you know, the only thing you're really living for is that high, that buzz. And you're doing it so much that you're keeping a hangover. You're trying to, you're getting, you know, you're living a life of drunkenness. Or, you know, but you can be drunk off of many different things. You got to make sure that those things you don't allow them to happen in your life. You don't allow yourself to become so consumed with things that you forget about what you're supposed to be doing and doing by it and watching for his return. So he said, if you do that, that day will come upon you and you won't be aware of it. You'll be so wrapped up in other things that you won't be aware that he has returned. He gets you by surprise. You might be aware that he's returned, but you ain't been doing what you know you're supposed to have done. You got wrapped up in caring about other things. And you let his work, and remember he told us in the other verse, that you continue in his work. You left his work undone. You see, a lot of the times, for most of us, not saying everybody, but most of us, our work, secondary. But his works have to come first. And it's something that we have to learn, because the world teaches us the opposite. But then when we study this word for ourselves, we realize that, hey, our priorities were not aligned with the word of the Most High. From the very beginning, put him first. He says, I'd have taken care of all that other stuff for you. I'd have given it to you. I'd have caused men to give it to you. Because you were about my business first. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added to you. But we were told, seek first our financial future. Secure our future by getting a good job and getting an education and saving up money. Do that first. Only problem with that, we can do all that and die before we ever even get a chance to enjoy what we saved up. It doesn't secure us. And secondly, or firstly to that, we were busy doing our own works and not his. Not his. That's the first thing. And in being busy doing our own work, we left his work undone. It was secondary, you know, as we had time to give to it. If we were giving to it at all. But it was secondary, at best for most of us. And I know that I'm not lying. I know that what I'm saying is the absolute truth. It was secondary, because that's the way we were taught. Okay, so we can't get caught up in the cares of this world, of this life. Go to the next question. Third, is it possible for us to go to know the time of his return? Let's go to Mark chapter 13. And let's get verse 32. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The Most High says, when I'm on the earth in the body of a man, I did not even give it to myself to give it to you. Because I know from that position I would have told you. But I didn't give it to myself to give to you. It's only from the position of Father. Don't know. And you and I don't know the exact time of his return. We know the season. We know what we're told to look for. We know the signs and what we're to look for. But we don't know what time those signs are going to appear and what time he exactly is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. When he's going to actually, you know, 10:30 on the 23rd of December 2023, Messiah will be returning. We don't know that. We're just given the sign that we're to be watching for. Because if he told most of us exactly when he was coming back, we would be waiting to the last minute trying to get right. That's why I said you don't know whether I come in the morning, in the evening, at sunup, sundown, noon, midnight. You don't know. But when I come suddenly, I'm going to catch a lot of you unaware. I'm going to take you by surprise. You weren't watching. You were caught up in the cares of this life. You were caught up in seeking your own pleasure, doing what seemed right to yourself. Because I've been saying I'm going to come for 2,000 years, you know. Ain't came in 2,000 years. I'm going to catch you unaware. So no man can know the time of his return. We just know the season. We know the signs to look for. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And he said, and he said unto him, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But he gives us the season and he gives us the sign. So unless he gives it to us, for you to know it. But let's just take this verse strictly on face value. If you can't know the time or the season, then you just have to be watching, period. And you got to at least, as a minimum, be looking for the what? Sign. Or the signs of his return. And that's a minimum. You have to be looking for at least the sign. Him coming in the cloud. Him touching down the Mount of Olives. Don't see those? You say, hey, I haven't seen what I'm looking for. Just like John. John didn't know exactly when Messiah was going to start his ministry, but John was given a sign. So let's go there. go to John chapter, I believe it's 1. The book of John chapter 1. Let's see. Now let's go to John chapter 1, and we're going to read start at verse 19. John chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Okay. John is Messiah's cousin. Okay. He's his cousin. But he didn't know that Messiah, in the womb he knew. But after he was born, he did not know that Messiah, that Yeshua was the Messiah, until he saw the sign. So let's read this. John 1, starting in verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who art thou? Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ or the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you that prophet?" The prophet is the one talked about by Moses, and the Most High will give you a prophet after me, like me. And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? Who are you then? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" What do you say about yourself? Who are you? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Yah, as said the prophet Isaiah." And when we go back into Isaiah, we know that the Lord there was capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "Make way the path of Yah. Make straight the path of Yah, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, verse 25, they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then?" Why are you baptizing then if you're not that prophet, if you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elias? "If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet, why are you baptizing then?" John answered, saying unto them, "I baptize with water, but there standeth among you whom you know not, one whom you, there stands among you, standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethphara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not." This is his cousin. "And I knew him not," not that he was the Messiah, "but that he should be made manifest to Israel, that he should be made known to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending," this is the sign, "and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Elohim." So John didn't know that Yeshua before he saw the sign. He didn't know. He says, "And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. Then John knew. He saw the sign. John had to be watching for that sign. Like we were told to watch. Don't know when he's coming, but watch for the sign as a minimum. Watch for him to appear in the clouds. Watch for him to descend and his feet come down on the Mount of Olives. Watch for the Mount of Olives to split when his foot touches it. Watch for the sign. So we're to watch for the sign. We don't know the exact time, and no man can know the exact time because it is hidden, and it's only given from the position of the Father to know it. I'm not telling you his exact return, but then you'll act a fool. You'll try to wait until the very last minute. So we are to live our lives always watching, being prepared for his return. You know, people are looking at prophecy, looking for his return, trying to interpret prophecy. And the only real reason for that is so they can get ready. Because it really makes no difference and it makes no sense to be looking for his return and looking for prophecy if you're not doing what he said to do. He tells us that. Lee, come, and you be unaware. You're not ready. Been too busy living this life and getting drunk and fornicating and all this other stuff. Worried about getting, you know, paying bills and eating and letting that consume you. When I told you, if you seek me first, I'll make sure you have all those things. Don't make them first. For this morning, we will do spiritual wellness on this evening, and we will pick this back up next Sabbath with the signs of his coming. We'll talk specifically about those because it's the signs that we have to at least look for. And if we don't see these signs, then we should know that it's not him. And we're not to be concerned except for in these last days, we know that Antichrist is going to come and try to emulate, duplicate and make himself appear to look like Messiah. And many are going to fall for it and follow after him and do whatever that man says because they believe he is the Messiah. And those that don't believe he's the Messiah, he says he's going to persecute them, even to have the power over life and death of them. So we have to know what the signs are so that we don't fall for the Antichrist. We don't fall for the anti-Messiah. But we know the signs of his coming. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I do not have a heaven or a hell to put you into. The only thing I can do is tell you, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, saints. Have a blessed rest of your Sabbath.
Lorraine.